messages. We'll be right back.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Are you in good hands?
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome to After These Messages, where we bring you hot takes on commercial breaks. That is right, we are here to talk about TV commercials, good ones and bad ones, and ones where people say weird shit like this.
You son of a biscuit-eating bulldog.
My name is Andrew Walsh, and I'm here with Genevieve Haz. Hello, Vives.
Hi, Andrew.
What's coming up today on the show?
It's cheaters.
J'accuse.
J'accuse. Did you ever hear the phrase, cheaters never win?
I have heard that, yes.
Never cheat.
Yes.
I think there's plenty of evidence to the contrary, but we're going to look at ads that... Like
the Patriots?
Like the Patriots.
The Astros?
The Astros. Yeah.
Sort of seems like the... Michigan, Harbaugh's whole thing this year, cheated, won the championship.
Cheaters,
it sounds to me like
inevitably win.
Cheaters are doing pretty damn well
This America. Thanks, Biden. The idea of cheating, and shortcuts in general, kind of like, you know, taking the easy way or the cheaty way to something is an idea that surfaces in a lot of ads. We're going to look at those today.
Nice. Also, this is very exciting. Very exciting. I say that a lot, and I don't mean it, to be honest with you. This time, I really mean it. We are introducing a new segment on the show. A brand new segment is making its debut today, and I feel like this one has legs. Have we started segments on this show that never went anywhere? Yes, the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame kind of petered out.
That, yeah, I think we did it once.
Yeah, we have hardly ever do commercials in the news anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Although I love the sounder for that.
Wait, I can do, you know, I was going to say we also have an Andy's Corner coming up, but Andy's Corner is about a brand new campaign, and I'm going to read to you from an article that is a write-up about the
that's
campaign.
That's a commercial in the news.
So, hey, guess what else is coming up in today's show, guys?
Commercial in the news.
The grand return of commercials in the news, but also a brand new segment. I'm not going to... should I say the name of it now when we explain it later? Don't even say anything about it. Make everybody listen.
Boy, I don't know. Those are two such great choices.
Okay. I'm not even going to tell you the name of the segment. We're going to tell you about it later on
great
in the show.
Call.
Great call. You ever think we should talk about these things before the show? Nah, we're doing fine. We have like three listeners.
We devoted a healthy 20 minutes of discussion to this week's show.
That is true.
That's a lot more than average.
Certainly more.
That is like a huge outlier in terms of time spent discussing upcoming show for us.
I will tell you this. As we get into our very first segment here, I want to say you kind of, I don't know, we don't pitch each other on ideas. That sounds a little bit more grandiose, but you mentioned it, I think it was yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And I was groggy, like you were getting ready for work and I was still in bed. And
you were groggy, but you still found time to like...
To shoot it down.
Shoot a million holes in my idea.
I didn't shoot a million holes. And I just said, maybe. It didn't sort of feel like, I wasn't sure if there was enough connective tissue there or something. It was on me. It was a failure of imagination because then I opened up the show sheet today. I'm like, okay, I'll start exploring this topic. You'd already put, I think, all of today's commercials in there. And this is a good idea.
Yeah, thank you.
So thank you. So let's talk about it. Cheaters. You look at him like he's some kind of a hero. Eddie Rabbit doesn't miss, man.
He sure doesn't.
All right. Narrator. Eddie Rabbit sometimes misses.
He did.
I'll tell you what, though. If you're on a road trip through this great country of ours and you want to hear some good, like, road music, put on yourself an Eddie Rabbit algorithm.
I feel like we listen to a lot of Eddie Rabbit on our Grand Canyon road trip.
Yeah, that makes sense. You put that into the algorithm and it's just like, oh, you're on the road.
Yeah.
And you get a bunch of trucker songs and various stuff from the 80s. But this commercial that we're going to begin with, maybe this campaign, because there's at least two of them, was what kind of... prompted this idea, right?
Yeah, this is an ad that I saw in the wild. I forget what I was watching. I think I was on, either on Pluto or Tubi. Mm-hmm. I've been watching a lot of Tubi lately.
And it wasn't Fubo.
We don't have Fubo.
I know. I am astounded by the names of these. Yeah. Pluto, Tubi, Fubo, well, and I feel like there's a fourth.
There's some research. It's the reason Goop is called Goop, and a number of other Hulu,
CISO.
Hulu, Google, YouTube, all of them. There's some evidence, and I don't know, you know, how self-fulfilling a prophecy this is, that the oo sound, mm-hmm. like a one or two syllables with oo in them, mm-hmm. is somehow like, it's somehow sticky to people.
That's why Yoo-hoo is America's favorite drink.
I do love a Yoo-hoo.
I don't know if I do.
I do.
I used to when I was a kid. I would see, there was something about the packaging of them, and you would see them in like the refrigeration case or whatever at a 7-Eleven. It looks so tempting. Now I'm like, I don't know.
Chocolate soda.
Is it? Yeah, it's not like chocolate milk, is it?
Well, I feel like Yoo-hoo is to chocolate milk as Tootsie Rolls are to a Hershey bar.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's
they're
the
sort
flavor,
of. It's sort of
but
like.
None of the consistency.
It's like chocolate-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. But I love them both.
So you're watching Hulu. I'm sorry.
Watching
you're watching Tubi. You're watching Yoo-hoo TV.
Yoo-hoo TV. I'm shocked that there isn't a channel that's Y-U-H-U. Maybe it's too confusing with YouTube and Hulu.
Yeah, I would think.
And Yoo-hoo the soda.
And Yoo-hoo the soda. They would have a lawsuit, I think. Or at least a good shot. Anyway, so what is the commercial?
So this is an ad for Quest Nutrition, which is like, it's like various sort of snack foods, I think, primarily that are, you know, billed as like being like a bag full of chips, but it's somehow high protein or mm-hmm. low cal or whatever. And their pitch man is Kumail Nanjiani, mm-hmm. who most of us have loved for years. But then he like had this weird, I don't want to say weird, but like surprising, let's say, sort of next act when he got super just absolutely shredded for that Marvel movie he was in.
Well, he took a couple of interesting turns because you and I knew him mostly as a comedian who would make like appearances on shows and projects that we love.
He's a part of Silicon Valley.
Some of his appearances in Portlandia. I know that's not huge on his CV, but just like things that we love, you know, that kind of humor. And then he made, and I haven't seen it yet, but he and his wife teamed up, I think, to mm-hmm. make that indie movie that
about
was
her cancer
that was
diagnosis.
About, right, and it was like, did you end up seeing that?
No, I actually never saw it, not out of any desire not to. It just kind of, you know, you miss things. I heard him give a pretty fun or enlightening interview, I guess, about it on Smartless, you know, that podcast mm-hmm. with Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and
mm-hmm.
I think Will Arnett.
Yes, there you go. I was no help there. I was just nodding.
Yes. That
Smartless.
Guy. Yep.
Smartless.
Well, anyway, I like Smartless, and they always have fantastic guests. They can get anybody. And he talked about the real life story that he lived through with his mm-hmm. Like sort of very new, I don't know if it was girlfriend at the time or if she became, like, how it all, like, pieced together. But, like, basically he was sort of in a newish relationship where suddenly the person was, like, diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. And then he made a movie about it.
And then, like, it was just such an indie darling that broke through. And so now it's, like, this, and it's not funny, right? I mean, there might have been some subtle humor and personality in it, but it's not, like, a comedy or anything. It's
a very dramatic film.
The
subject is, of course, very serious.
And then he's like, okay, and guess what? I'm going to play, like, some sort of Aquaman-esque character in a DC movie. It's not Aquaman. I know it's not Aquaman, but he's playing some sort
of
a... He
was in that movie, The Eternals.
Right. Yeah, and so he gets super jacked for that.
And he gets so ripped for it. He actually has a fun... I haven't seen The Eternals, but I think his character has a funny backstory, which is that he's eternal, he's immortal, but he's also a Bollywood star. So
oh,
he just
yeah,
keeps
sure.
reinventing himself as the, quote, son of the Bollywood star before him, who looks somehow exactly like his father.
But is he a secret son until he makes his debut?
I don't
time?
Know how
anyway.
They address those nuances. So, it was called The Big Sick, was his movie about his wife.
So then he becomes like, he's like this, he's shirtless and all these like magazine covers.
Oh, yeah. He's
did
like on the cover
that,
of Men's Health
did you
all
say
of
that,
a sudden.
Didn't you say that that Pornhub changed their logo to his avatar for a day
yes.
when this was all new?
Or, I did
they
hear,
did something yeah, like that,
it,
you
it,
said.
I might be misremembering the exact thing, but Pornhub did some kind of like unauthorized thing to acknowledge his newfound hotness.
It must be amazing to just be like, I was this guy that like some people knew, a lot of people didn't, but those who knew my work really loved my work, you know, certainly appreciated, could own a room, obviously, but still like it's a certain, but
to
then
be a matinee idol.
But not only that, but
in the parlance of our time.
But then, yeah. Yes, ma. But then to suddenly have the world obsessing over your new body.
Yes, and your fitness regimen and your diet and like, how did you do it? Because I think for most of us, it just seems so impossible.
Yeah, but also like not only that, but then just to have literally like your whole personality is this geek got shredded.
This geek got shredded.
This geek got shredded. Anyway, so that's Kumail.
That and now you know.
Okay.
Now you're all caught up.
And so in this,
so the shredded geek,
the shredded former geek.
He's still a geek. You don't become not a geek just because you're shredded.
I don't know.
Or I guess that's the question. That's the $64,000 question.
I don't want to mansplain to you here, Genevieve.
Well, then, but pick your next words carefully.
Let me explain to you how this works. There are two types of people, and I learned this from the back of Archie comic books. There are two types of people. There are the people who are getting sand kicked on them at the beach.
The geeks, if you will.
The geeks. And then you have the people who are kicking the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And Kumail went from the person who was getting the sand kicked on him based on his body type.
Famously,
to
he
now,
was frequently kicked sand
on. He was, yeah. It almost kept him out of the pictures. And then he reinvented himself, and now he's the sand kicker.
And now he's a bully.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're a geek and whether you're the person who gets sand kicked on you is not intrinsic to you at all. It's just about your
shape,
your relative strength and size.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
See, you get it.
All right. Well, I didn't know that. Now I know.
So this commercial campaign that we're going to talk about here for these chips or crisps or whatever they are, what are they called again?
I think it's just Quest Nutrition is the brand. Yeah. I mean, they make chips.
One of them is for cookies. They're like snacks that are supposed to not like be terrible for you, basically.
I've never had one, but if my experience with the high protein breakfast cereal that I had is any indication, they are a disgusting.
Yeah. But I think the premise of these, I'll just say it straight up and then we can talk about the commercial. It will play it for you. But I feel like there's something broken about the premise here, but I think they started with the idea of like kind of cheat day, or you're cheating on you're finding a shortcut in your snacking.
You can have snacks, you can do what you can eat the way you want to eat, but it's like it's not gonna cost you anything in terms of, you know, your calories. So this is what I saw while watching TV. He's in a kayak, Kumail. He's in a kayak. And he's like zipping along in this kayak, and we realize pretty quickly like he's leaving a wake.
He's just speeding along, and he's ripped Kumail.
Yeah, and he's not even paddling; he's just speeding along. So it's pretty obvious he's being towed by some powerboat. So while he's being towed in a kayak, i.e., cheating because he's not really kayaking, he's extolling the virtues of these chips.
Yes. Yeah, so okay, let's take a listen to this.
There's only one way to smash your goal while smashing nacho cheese chips.
Cheating!
Woo! Cheat on chips with chips. Big on protein, low on sugar, huge on flavor. Quest, it's basically cheating.
So, I feel like, I don't know, I'm trying to deconstruct this campaign or this idea that they came up with for their product and how to market it. And like, it just sort of feels like they then jammed it together in a way that doesn't totally make sense here, because the idea is we found a really healthy, hunky guy, right?
And he didn't have to do any work. He just ate these really fun chips.
Yeah, he just ate those chips. And then, maybe it does make sense. There's something
about it.
I mean,
it makes sense. It's dishonest.
I think what it...
It's hella dishonest.
I think what... Maybe this would even be more dishonest, but like it makes more sense. It's like, you can eat these chips because you really are a kayaker who can be really buff. Like, I can't explain it. Like, it sort of feels like the fact that he's being pulled negates the benefit of these chips, generally speaking. But maybe my brain's just broken on this.
I think your brain is broken on this because let's acknowledge first the fiction of this, right? Like, nobody looks like him without doing the work and eating healthy.
Yeah.
But for argument's sake, let's say these chips are not disgusting, or are disgusting, but are also like not terrible for you. And all he's doing is like it's just an exaggeration of the same premise, right? That you can eat something that's bad for you, that seems bad for you, and you get the results you want. And if you were to like extrapolate that to the nth degree, you would like, you know, you would get the help. You could go somewhere in a kayak without having to do any kayaking work.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that makes sense. When I first saw it, I was sort of like, well, you eat these chips and you can still be a really good muscly kayaker. And I was like, but you're not a kayaker because the boat is pulling you. I sort of felt like they went a step too far and negated their message. But no, the point is like, you don't have to exercise and you don't have to have unflavorful food.
Right.
You can eat these fun snacks and cheat on your exercise plan and you still look like Kumail.
Exactly. Which, again, I want to be clear, is not true.
You're sure about that?
I've tried so many. How
many of these chips have you eaten?
Well, I will go out and try them. Let's be honest. Like, they get me every time.
Oh.
With these.
A little teaser I
told you about the stupid cereal, and I was so excited to try it. It was so expensive. Remember, it was like crazy. It was like $20
a box of
cereal.
But didn't a family member get you it for Christmas? Because it was an expensive cereal, so somebody in your family, I think, got you like four boxes of it. Like, there were these like protein-heavy cereals that were heavily advertised on podcasts and like
Magic Spoon,
and wasn't one of them like Fruit Loops, and one of them was like Frosted Flakes or something. They like kind of modeled themselves after four different classic like
kids cereals, sugar cereals,
but they were supposed to be good for you and taste amazing.
I talked to some other folks who do like, you know, keto and low protein or high protein and whatever, and like they're like, yeah, they're good. And I tried one, and I mean, it was worse than just eating healthy food.
Well, those people probably have changed their palate so much, because if they're already on these intense diets, whereas like me, like if I skip kielbasa for one meal, I call it a diet. You know what I mean?
Like, it was just so bad that I was like, you know what? I would rather eat a piece of fruit.
You're not a big fruit person. That blows me away. I love fruit.
I mean, I like fruit. It's fine.
That does not sound like somebody who loves fruit.
Fruit's fine.
What
it doesn't taste as good as carbs.
I don't know, man.
I know it has sugar in it.
Can I ask you a question?
Don't at me. I know there are people who are like, fruit is for treats. Fruit is for treats.
Let me explain something to you, Genevieve. No, let me ask you a question. And this is, I have to, in all seriousness, like this does sort of sound like people like what they like, and people like their food in different ways. But when I hear that somebody doesn't like fruit, I always ask.
I said fruit is fine.
I know. I always say, are you eating it cold or room temperature? Because, and I know that some people like adamantly really love citrus and oranges or whatever, and they like them at room temperature. So I'm not saying that's the only way to eat fruit, but I do feel that people who maybe think, because I know somebody, I had a conversation with somebody a couple of months ago who like actively does not like fruit. And I said, have you tried throwing those? Because she discovered these special grapes that she loves. And now she's like, now I love these grapes. Now apparently I do like some fruit. And I asked her, I was just like, you ever take an orange and throw it in the refrigerator and then eat it? Like, that can be the most refreshing moment of your day.
Someone offered me a satsuma at work.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, and I was so pleased to accept.
Oh, I love a satsuma.
I love a satsuma.
I don't know if I can eat just one, though. I gotta eat two of those babies.
Yeah, they're little babies.
Yeah. Okay, so that was one of these Quest Nutrition commercials, but we have one more with Kumail.
Yes.
Different scenario, though. This one, he's not talking about chips. He's talking about cookies, and he's on the beach, right?
Yeah, and it's a very similar premise, right? And I'll note that although he is sort of famous for being fit now, they don't have him on, like, his body on display in a really obvious way. Like, in the kayak, he's in a kayak, and he's probably shirtless, but he has, like, a life vest over his chest.
Yeah, you don't see that much of his body,
and in this,
actually,
he's just wearing, like, you know, trunks and a big beach t-shirt or beach, like, button-down.
And in all seriousness, like, I don't want to get into body image or issues more than we have kind of in a joking way, but he also might just not be as ripped as he was at the height of him filming this thing. You know what I mean? He's still known as that, but we're not seeing as much of him in this. But anyway, he's on the beach in this.
You're
one.
You're saying prove it, Kumail.
I'm saying pop that shirt off, buddy boy. No, he's on the beach, and I think this time he's like we see an amazing sand castle behind him.
Like it's a life-size sand castle. Like it's a huge building-size sand castle, and at first we just see the edges of it, this amazing construction. And then as he continues talking about these cookies, we realize that the reason the castle, sandcastle, is so amazing is that like a construction crew has built it.
And I didn't notice this the first time I watched it. There's also a big, he clearly literally won a trophy for it. There's a big trophy next to him with some, and on the trophy is like a figurine holding a shovel.
There's only one way to eat delicious cookies while getting your protein in. Yep, some cheating.
Cheat on cookies with cookies. Big on protein, low on sugar.
That music reminds me of like 30 Rock.
Yeah, they go very much.
And come out of a commercial or something. All right. So that sets the stage for our cheating segment. What else did you find?
Okay, this one is, I might need some help understanding exactly what's happening here, but this is for a reality, like a VR reality, mm-hmm. I guess virtual reality, like rig or whatever. It's called Win Reality. And you have a bunch of like baseball players, like kids playing baseball.
Yeah. Like teenagers, like at the age where baseball is becoming serious.
Kind of
to
serious,
them. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're getting like thrown out and like they're being kind of dominated by one player. And it turns out it's because that player, and this is where I get a little confused. Either this player gets to practice by using the Win Reality VR site. So it's not that we're experiencing what they're doing in VR. It's that they're practicing with VR.
Yeah.
It's like an extra leg up that's unfair to the other player.
Yeah, that's why. So it starts as kind of confessional, almost like The Office or something. These young teens or whatever are saying, it's not fair. I can't even like get a pitch past this guy or whatever. And then at the end, the reveal is, oh, that's because he's been using this training tool, which is basically a VR helmet, but specifically so that you can train yourself on your swing using virtual reality, but it's supposedly it's not being advertised like a game you can play,
yeah.
like backyard baseball
it's
or
really
the
a training
show.
Tool.
It's truly a training tool. So here, take a listen.
It's cheating. It's not even fair.
It's like the hitters know what I'm going to throw every time.
I hate Win Reality.
I love it.
Be ready for real. Win Reality.
The kid who says, I love it, is in his bedroom. He pops down the VR glasses, takes a swing with his bat, and then we see him on the field, you know, I guess hitting a dinger.
Hitting a dinger.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Smoking a dinger.
So I just kind of like this idea. Like, this is really what I pitched to you when you were so negative to me the other day, which was this pitch that products make. Where there's like, if you use our product, it's so good that it's mm-hmm. like getting an unfair advantage
yeah.
of some kind.
You know what I don't think, I was going to say we were able to find. I looked for some commercials too, but I don't think I added any to the list because you found everything. But I thought there was going to be like a, go ahead, cheat on your cellular carrier or
right.
something like that. But I couldn't really find those.
I do think those are out there. And you know, like we didn't. You know, do an exhaustive search of every commercial that ever.
I spent like 6.5 minutes.
Yeah,
on this.
Exactly. This next one is a little more like just kind of soap opera-y, and it just revolves around the idea of cheating on your partner.
Yes, there were a lot of those that I found dismissed
yeah.
because I think this commercial here, which I've seen a bunch and is in a campaign that we've talked about, represents this well. But there are a lot of like, and a lot of them were like Australian or British, where things were a little bit more naughty in
yeah.
some of the ads over there. But I was like, I didn't want to just stack this whole show up with a bunch of infidelity stuff, especially when it didn't tie right back to the product.
Yeah, so this is probably a little bit in that camp because it's a little bit far afield from the product itself.
It really is.
But it's the Fansville campaign for Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm, the fake town where everybody loves their college teams.
Everyone loves their college team, and almost as much as they love Dr. Pepper, and there's all these characters who are recurring. And I like this campaign. I thought the jokes in this were funny, even though it's really just a little mini drama set in Fansville so to remind us that Dr. Pepper exists.
Yeah, for some reason, this commercial pops onto my radar a lot. I don't know if it's ever made it to a show sheet or not, but for some reason, must check a lot of boxes of things I'm searching for. So I feel like I've seen this commercial a lot.
We might have talked about it in the past.
Maybe
I don't recall.
We did, and we haven't even said what it is yet. But I got to the end of it today, you know, rewatching. I was like, I don't know if it ever was so clear to me that this has literally zero connection to the product.
Yeah,
it's like they've
just
made
the branding.
Because even like I think that recently the Fansville campaign had like a had a player portal joke,
yes,
where their star quarterback was being sucked into the portal. It was very timely, but it still was kind of like, but he won't let go of his Dr. Pepper. There was like some tangential,
yeah,
related thing that's saying, because this soda is so good. This commercial we're going to see has absolutely no selling points for the Dr. Pepper soda. It's just a little sketch.
It's just a little sketch, but I enjoy it. So we have a young couple, young, attractive man and woman who are, they're kind of like, she's like the head, she seems like kind of the head cheerleader. He seems like a, you know, they just seem like a kind of a very beautiful young couple.
College age,
College age, yeah. And they're out tailgating, and she shows up to his grill where he's grilling, and he notices that there's something a little suspect about her appearance.
Not her appearance.
It's this, right?
I thought he literally tastes it.
Oh, does he? I thought
I think
he just sees it.
She gives him a kiss.
Oh, okay.
And he notices something.
You're right.
On her lips.
On a suspicious Fansville by Dr. Pepper.
Hey, you're late.
I was just getting more Dr. Pepper.
Is that Dijon mustard? Are you seeing another grill?
No.
Was it her?
So now he gestures across the parking lot with his spatula. Is that her? And there's a woman, like, kind of across the way who's got, like, a grill four times the size of his. A
surrounded
whole canopy,
by fans.
Just
of
surrounded
her
by people who are, like, cheering her on while she's, like, flipping burgers. It's like a party scene. It looks like something in, like, Cabo Wabo or,
yeah,
something like that.
No.
Was it her? What does she have that I don't?
She has an onion volcano. Look.
She uses propane. This is natural, girl.
Tastes the same to me.
What?
Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
I just like that it tastes the same to me.
Yeah.
I appreciate the gender swap.
Me too,
you
yeah.
You know, it's not...
That is clearly romantic. There's, you know, it's...
There's an overtone,
yeah,
of romantic quality to it, but it's played... For it's sort of played gender neutrally.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
I like it too. I think it's just generally charming.
It is charming.
What is this next one? Home Chef.
This one's not that interesting, but
oh, good.
It's but here we are. This is one. This is the, so there are when you put in like the word shortcut into a search engine for commercials, you get one of two things. You get a million ads that are like, we don't take shortcuts. And it's like every product under the sun, like we make John Deere tractors and we don't take shortcuts. We grow Idaho potatoes and we don't take shortcuts. We make underoos and we don't take shortcuts. You know, just like everybody's telling you how they don't take shortcuts,
mm-hmm,
except for one product that is very all about shortcuts.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Is it Home Chef?
It's meal prep.
Oh, okay.
So it's anything that does like, it's like, you know, what are the Blue Apron,
mm-hmm,
all of those like meal kit
yeah,
things. They know
Hello Fresh.
Hello Fresh. Yeah. Any of them are like shortcuts. We are, mm-hmm, we are your shortcut, 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 shortcut. So anything that like I found half a dozen like meal kit products where their main selling point is this is a shortcut to a meal that tastes like it was made, you know, with a lot of time and care and everything.
And this one is, like you said, pretty simple. It's shot from above. You see sort of a cutting board and kind of, I'm trying to think, is this original shot of the cutting board sort of, it shows you like just the mess of,
yes,
like,
I all
just had
work
to cut a bunch of tomato. Look how chopped up these onions are. It's like clearly chopped up by someone who doesn't know how to chop up onions. And like,
which,
they're really trying to make, like, so they are really making it look like cutting an onion, a tomato, and a cucumber is the biggest mess in the world.
Well, yes, they are, and that is maybe a little overblown, but I will say this makes me think of a Instagram or a tweet I saw kind of recently where someone said, why is it that whenever I see someone say like easy, no prep meal, and then I see them start to cut an onion.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's not no prep. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, people don't like cutting an onion if they can avoid it.
So they show this really messy cutting board, and they're like, and then I think the voiceover does most of the work here. The cutting board is then replaced by a nice, simple Home Chef box, which has everything all chopped up for you. I don't think you and I have ever used this brand before. We've sampled various brands for
Home
like,
Chef is like a step beyond even like Blue Apron, mm-hmm, or HelloFresh.
It's like, really,
it's absolutely plug and play.
Yeah, and what the best thing about these, so I'm not a big fan, except for when I'm advertising for them, I'm not a big fan of these like meal prep kits, because if I'm gonna make something in the kitchen, a big part of it for me is just puttering around the kitchen. I like going, I'm one of those people who likes going to the grocery store. I like coming back with the ingredients. I like to make it from scratch if I'm gonna do that at all, if I'm gonna mess up the kitchen at all. Like these little, especially this kind that is so factory packed, doesn't appeal to me, except for sauces and whatnot. They come with these perfect little screw top plastic bottles and jars, basically.
It's so cute.
And you save those forever.
I
wish I had a whole cupboard full of those.
We did HelloFresh for a while. We did Blue Apron for a while. I liked it. After a while, it can kind of get on top of you because they sometimes they send a lot. I think what appealed to it about me was that I like the not having to go shop for a bunch of random ingredients, and especially I hate buying a whole jar of something that I only need an ounce of.
Talking to you, Marjoram.
And I liked the idea of like, oh, I know exactly what, like, it's this much onion, so they give you that much onion, then you cut it up, or it's this much, you know, like instead of having to parcel out how much of stuff you need, they've done a lot of that measuring. And like accounting for the amount of ingredients, and then also the shopping piece. But I don't mind doing the prep. But there's a whole range of things from like we send everything to you in a box and you sort it out and put it into what meals it goes into, to this thing, which is this is basically a TV dinner, but more high quality.
I just noticed not only did they make a total mess of just cutting up some simple vegetables, they've cracked open an egg on the counter and it's just laying there. Just an open egg.
God.
Is on the counter. This looks like when you're cooking, actually. When I come home and you've been cooking, there is food on the walls often.
That is untrue.
That is true.
That tells me how crazy you are. That
side
you
of
that.
The refrigerator will be covered in food.
That is not accurate.
I'm
show me the receipts.
I was gonna say
to what end.
I could show you the receipts, but I worry about how that conversation will go. I feel like it will not
show
be
me
a
the
pleasant.
Receipts.
Okay, I will
show me the receipts.
Sometimes you want the adventure, but sometimes you want the shortcut.
Okay, that's kind of interesting because they're not even saying, like, don't
sometimes
do
you
this.
Want to crack an egg on your counter and leave it
and
there.
And watch, did you notice another egg falls on top of this one at the beginning of the commercial?
Sometimes you want the adventure, but sometimes you want the shortcut. With Home Chef Fast and Fresh, all you need is a microwave or oven and just enough time to heat, eat, and repeat. Who said food can't be fast and home-cooked? Probably someone who never tried Fast and Fresh. Effortlessly create home-cooked meals like a pro with no prep and no mess. Delicious, meat simple. Get $80 off.
Whatever they made, some sort of pulled pork thing in the oven that they then wrap up in fat tortillas look, or kind of fat pita look good. I think, you know, this is obviously very visual, so I'll point out the visual aspects of it, but it's, again, kind of all done in this overhead shot. You never see the person's face.
Yeah,
who's
that's
like
such
this.
A style.
You just see the hands and then a little bit of their feet. They're sort of, you know, they're wearing these kind of cute socks when they're putting something in the oven. And it's interesting how, you know, they cast this very specifically to appeal to a certain person of a certain age and place in life, because like you, it appears to be like a woman's arms, a young woman's arms. There's a tattoo on one of them, like kind of a new hipstery kind of tattoo. Like there's so much, you feel like you know this person by just seeing like 4 inches
of
their arms and an inch of their toes.
Yeah,
you know?
I really like it.
All right, so this next one is interesting.
I remember how last week we closed on 1-800-PHONE-SEXY.
Yes.
This is like the...
Which I just would like to point out once again that 1-800-PHONE-SEX has too many numbers in it anyway.
Yeah.
Adding a Y does nothing.
Well, this... Apparently, I've got a real sort of trend going of like sex work adjacent commercials. This came up...
It's called You're Horny on Main, Genevieve.
This is amazing. This is for a dating site called whatsyourprice.com. And
this better be for airfare.
Yeah, it's not. And it's the idea is that it's a shortcut to getting a date with someone. And spoiler alert, it's a shortcut for men looking to date women by bidding on dates.
bidding.
Bidding on dates with them.
Oh, it's a classic sex auction.
It's a classic sex auction.
Getting a first date with a beautiful woman can throw you for a loop.
What does that even mean? What, getting a first date with a beautiful woman can throw you for a loop? Does that mean it's difficult to get a first date with a beautiful woman? I take that as...
Once you get it, you're like, oh, no!
What am I going to do? We got a live one here!
Getting a first date with a beautiful woman can throw you for a loop. Take the dating shortcut using the What's Your Price online dating auction. Why stress when you can bid on first dates with thousands of beautiful women? Whatsyourprice.com, the online dating auction.
So...
Yeah. I went and visited whatsyourprice.com and did a little of research here. So let me know if you hit me with your questions.
Okay. Is it prostitution?
I mean, yes, I think so. Although you don't have to, it's not sex that you're paying for. It is a date.
Yes.
It is a date. And there are two kinds of people on whatsyourprice.com. And
yeah, the ones who get the sand kicked on them.
Yes.
And the ones who kick the sand.
Well.
We've covered this.
They are called, in the parlance of whatsyourprice.com, there are people who are considered attractives and people who are considered generous.
So I guess their way of making it seem like it's just
gender neutral.
Gender neutral.
Technically, anyone can be an attractive and anyone can be a generous.
Although, didn't this one begin by saying a beautiful woman?
It did. And I mean, okay. I think they only had 15 seconds in this ad. And I think they had to boil it down pretty fast for the slower members of their possible purchasing public.
And there are the number of women who are probably of straight women who are probably looking for an attractive man on this website.
No, it doesn't exist.
Less than zero.
It's less than zero. It is men buying dates with women who are, it's just a sugar, it's sugar babies, right? And I think that's also a website.
I did look at some after seeing this, I looked at some Ashley Madison ads, and again, I kind of didn't feel like getting
Are they back
into
out
it.
There?
I think so. They're on iSpot. They didn't seem like super old.
Because they got burned because their whole thing got put out on Main, right?
Yeah, because they were hacked. And their whole thing was we're a website that helps you cheat on your significant other. And don't
secretly.
Worry, we're going to keep all of your information private. And then there's a hack. And then you remember for a while, there was a database you could go to and just put in your friend's name and see if he'd been in the hack.
In the hack.
Got caught in the sack with a hack.
So What's Your Price is the newest variation on this. And when you go to their website, it's gosh, online dating is such a hassle. And it is actually kind of true. I've been reading all these articles lately about how miserable online dating has become, because if online dating actually worked the way they advertise it as working, people would pair off and they wouldn't return again and again. But instead, it's just become sort of a gamified thing where you have to pay more and more and more to get better quality people to swipe on. And it just has become a money minting machine for the apps. And it's a miserable experience for people who are using them, because it's built to be miserable. Unless you buy enough room to cross your legs, basically. Right.
Right. The Alaska Airlines.
Yeah. Or uncross them, I guess, in that case.
Right, exactly.
So this one is just hey, fuck that shit, just pay. And I'm sure they take a cut of whatever the payment is.
You copied and pasted a little blurb, I believe, from their website directly. Which
yes,
I think
this is their own marketing
there's
language.
There's an interesting caveat in here. It says date, offers, and payment details are to be made between the attractive and generous members in a respectful manner. What's Your Price does not assist in the exchange of any payments.
Well, I wonder if that's because
it's probably
like a pimping
skirting
law.
A law,
yeah.
Right?
But then how do they make money?
Because this is a lie.
You think this is
a lie? There's something. You have to do something through the app, or you pay fees through the app. Yeah, either way. I mean, I guess you pay the app to find somebody who's willing to take your money for special times.
Yeah. There's some way to do it, but I think you're right. This is threading a careful needle for a legal reason.
But it actually leads well. I'm going to rearrange the show sheet on the fly a little bit, Genevieve, today, because we are totally producing the show on the fly today, because that sort of leads into what we're now going to categorize as commercials in the news.
Commercials in the news!
Sorry, I had to change it on the show sheet. That's why we had extra long music there. So this came across my radar because we've talked about this campaign before. I started a sentence and did not finish it. This came across my radar because we've talked about this campaign before. It's for Hinge, the dating app Hinge, right?
Yeah.
And it's a really brilliant campaign, I think. Their whole thing is the app that works so well, we want you to delete it. So in other words, you have all these dating apps out there. If you think about their bottom line, there's no incentive for them to actually find your forever person or whatever. They want you to stay on the apps, right? Hinge is like, wait a second.
And
want you to find your one, and then you can delete us.
And Hinge, I believe, is one of the ones that's owned by Match Group. So Match owns Match.com, obviously. Oh, and then it owns a bunch of the other ones that you've heard of. I forget which ones they own, but they own a lot of the, like, most famous, most well-known dating apps, and I believe Hinge is among them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the idea that, you know, Hinge is meant to be deleted and it's better than all those other disreputable ones is, like, so disingenuous.
So did you look ahead in the show sheet and know why I want to talk about this ad? Good, because I'm excited about this. So this latest commercial, and this is a long one, this is almost 2 minutes long and it's how it's appearing on social media right now. I'm hoping that it will be cut down for actual television. And the commercial begins with, we see a youngish couple and they're in a car and I think one of them is dropping the other one off or something and they kiss, right?
Yeah.
And if you look closely, you can see in the back seat, there's this like weird furry creature thing with these googly eyes. Like it's kind of a big oversized pillow. And what that is the Hinge icon personified.
Yes, so that's in all of these ads. Yeah.
So if you can picture like an icon on your phone for whatever app you're using, I mean, they personify it by turning it into sort of a, almost a, not Jim Henson-y, but some sort of a Muppet-like creature, a goofy Muppet-like creature that is a furry version of that icon. And that icon is in the backseat of this car as these two people kiss, signifying that they have found their partner or whatever, which is kind of bad news for this icon, which suddenly finds itself up in, I guess, icon heaven? When the icon blinks, its eyes don't blink at the same time, which is a funny little disturbing thing. And then, okay, see, they kiss, and then the one person gets out of the car, and the person who's still in the car, you see them open up their phone, and they're on that screen where you can delete apps, and they're deleting the Hinge app.
And the Hinge creature sees that happen.
Yeah, and then it gets somehow caught in the
slammed in the car door and cut in half, and then it rises up to hit to icon heaven.
I forgot about that shot that it actually is almost like raptured.
Yeah.
And like the icon goes up into heaven. And now we're starting to see some sort of heavenly scene up there. And there's like an angel at a podium, like kind of classic, like you're in heaven now, will you get in or not? There's sort of a portal behind her and a bunch of like kind of fake looking clouds. Can you tell who the woman is yet?
No.
Welcome, tiny app icon, to the afterlife. You devoted your life to love. Not for yourself, but for Rio and Jess.
It's our girl, Patty Harrison. And the reason to finish my thought from many minutes ago, I follow Patty Harrison on Instagram, who goes by Party Hardison, Parter Hardison.
And you
want to
just
Instagram.
Give a quick, like, who she is?
So I learned about her from I Think You Should Leave. And then I think I've seen her in maybe one or two other things, but mostly I just think of her as being in the funniest sketches and I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. And like, you know, like, of a show that people obsess over, I know me and a couple other friends obsess over her type of humor as well because she's so weird and out there.
Yeah, in a way, really fearless.
She's just so fearless. And then when you follow her on Instagram, she's known for having like really weird, kind of heavily sexualized humor.
Yeah.
And that's right.
Pretty visceral.
Yeah, and she got herself banned off of Twitter way back in the day and she went on like Kimmel's show to explain it because she pulled some... I can't remember what it was. She pulled some prank where she already had a blue check mark for being famous. So the famous people who were pranksters back in the day could then change their profile name so it looked like and profile picture so it actually looked like they could represent a company.
Yeah.
And I think she pretended to be like Nabisco or something
yeah,
and was like,
that's right.
it was apologizing for being like not trans friendly or not queer friend. I can't remember what it was, but she, who's a queer person herself, like was somehow like somehow getting this company in trouble for apologizing for shit it didn't do. I don't know what it was. And she tells her stories in a very sort of dry way or whatever. So anyway, she's the one who's up in heaven and she's explaining to this icon. The rest of this gets very visual. She explains to this icon that because this couple down on earth found love, this icon is now dead. And then as the commercial goes on, and I don't know if we'll play the whole thing because it is so visual, you just start to see more and more icons flying up into heaven or dropping down into heaven or lining up on this long heavenly staircase waiting to get in because so many people are finding love through Hinge.
You devoted your life to love, not for yourself, but for Rio and Jess. You brought this couple together knowing full well it would lead to your deletion. Enjoy your afterlife.
She uses a remote control to open the portal that will, like, I guess, take the Hinge app into the afterlife, but then it gets stuck.
Sorry, it does that sometimes.
Enter.
Now another one shows up.
Yes. If you didn't connect Tony and Mel over a shared love of bowling, these two would have missed out on a fulfilling relationship. Deleted by two med students splitting nachos while studying.
Yum.
Please get into the portal.
So each of these little icons that are these fuzzy teddy bears, all like the one from bowling had a bowling ball on it. Some of them are covered in cheese from
it
the nacho date.
It must have been so fun for the prop department. I think of our friend Kat who does practical effects. It must have been so fun to make each one of these furry H's with the eyeballs.
Yeah.
And then like some indication of how they died in like a funny way.
Our couple is listed as not each other's type.
Fine, go.
We are switching to the honor system. You're doing exactly what I'm asking you not to do.
Oh, disgusting.
Go! Thank you for your work.
She's sort of like forcing them through the portal now. Everything just got really chaotic.
It just became like Lucy with the chocolates. Like she just couldn't keep up with them, so she just sort of like hurling them into the portal as fast as she can make them go.
And I can't even tell why they're like misbehaving at one point. Well, one of them keeps rolling into her podium and she just says, "You're doing exactly what I want you not to do." Says the dating app designed to be deleted, which again is just such a good concept.
It's a great concept.
It's such a good concept.
It's a lie because these are all the ones that are owned by Match Group. Tinder, Hinge, Match, Meetic, OkCupid, Pairs, Plenty of Fish, Azar, and Hakuna.
So is Hinge the one that is dedicated to the queer community, or they're just trying to be queer friendly?
I think they're just queer friendly. I think anybody can meet on Hinge.
Was it Tinder maybe that was there was one that early on in its day was considered like sort of a hookup app for gay men.
Oh, but that's Grindr.
Like, Grindr, that's what I'm thinking of. So Hinge, yeah. But by having Patty Harrison be the face of this thing, because I want to tell you that I read an article/interview with her in Them magazine that I think also just published today, which makes it commercials in the news.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And it's, you know, it's mostly one of the, you know, it's like just an interview question and answer format here, which is charming as hell. It goes from being like kind of goofy and her giving joke answers to giving some earnest answers, which I really appreciate. And of course, she's doing this as a spokesperson for Hinge. So there's an amount of, you know, she's beholden to the company in a certain way. But let's see, who wrote or who interviewed her? It's Samantha Allen interviewed her and said, "I assume that you went full method for your role as the Oracle in this ad." She said, "Yeah, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I did die for this role," which was really hard to do because I love life. But I did. I died. And so I was just kind of learning what it was like to be a ghost spirit in another realm. That was harder than people would imagine because it's just so freaky. I mean, there's a lot of freaky stuff happening on the other side. It's really cool, though, that the other realm let us do a project there because it's kind of a scary place. So anyway, it goes with that kind of joke for a while, but then talks about some kind of earnest stuff about dating and like how if you're kind of talking, instead of talking about red flags in dating, she talks about like green flags. And she says, like, kind of being earnest and putting yourself out there is good. If you're masking it in too much sarcasm or too much humor, then that isn't something that she feels is a good sign. She tries so hard not to say red flags and trying to focus on the good green flags of being. But in her personal life, she said, I'm not that famous as far as famous people are concerned. You know, Patty Harrison, most people, if you just say that name, probably don't know who she is. But she says, you know, if somebody approaches me on the app, which, by the way, I think she's with a long-term partner. I could be wrong about that. I don't know the latest, but I also sort of feel like there's a little bit of like her being a spokesperson here as if she's in the present tense still using this.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. She says, if somebody like on the app right away tells me, hey, I'm a big fan, she'll say, oh, thanks. That really means a lot. But I don't really date people who kind of already know my work. She said, but then there's another type of people who will come on really strong right away with a lot of like humor, especially out there, sexually heavy humor. She's like, and I can tell they know who I am.
Yeah,
and they know
impress.
That I'm known for that.
Yeah.
And they're going to kind of like try to sneak their way in. And I can sort of, she's like, just like be yourself, be earnest. You're already putting yourself out there. Don't try to hide behind too much sarcasm. I thought that was sort of an interesting insight into what it's like to be like kind of quasi famous.
Yeah.
And not wanting to date people who are familiar with your work. That's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. I think I get that. I get that being kind of a good blanket prohibition for someone who's of any level of fame. Past a certain point of fame, good luck, because, you know, there are some people who are so famous that there's no way that no one's, you know, that somebody mm-hmm. hasn't heard of them, right? Like, I'm sure Amal Clooney knew who George Clooney was before they got mm-hmm. together. And yet, they seem very happy.
I mean, they both have the same last name. They must have been on each other's radar, right?
I actually don't know if she took his last name. I might be saying that wrong.
You mentioned how fun it must have been to make the furry hinge icons. I'm glad that the interviewer asked this. Did you get to keep any of the furry hinge icons? And Patty says no. But they did offer the possibility. When I travel, though, I pack my suitcase to the point that nuclear fission is happening inside, so it's prone to exploding. So I just didn't have any room for it.
Oh, I would have for sure shipped one of those home for myself.
Yeah, I would have found a way to keep one as well, especially if you're going to be sort of, I don't know if she's going to be the face of this campaign or just in this one commercial, but I want her to be so famous. So anyway,
so famous she can't date anybody.
Yeah, I think she's fine. But anyway, let's see here. So this I said is, or I sent this to a friend of mine. I said this has the best power out of any interview I've read. The interviewer says, speaking of deleting things, what are some of your favorite things to destroy? And she says, you know those kind of strudel crisp things that you can put on top of? It's like a wafer cookie sort of thing, but you can put on top of a coffee or a hot chocolate and it deteriorates, and it doesn't look good when it deteriorates. You think it's like, oh, it's a sweet and it's a coffee. It's just such a classic combo, but then you watch it. It's kind of like a Cronenberg movie. It's like, it looks like flesh that's kind of, do you know what I'm talking about? The interviewer says, a stroop waffle? She said, yeah, it's a stroop. Stroop is the word, not strudel. You know so much about this stuff. Encyclopedic. Yeah, maybe those. The other thing I would say I enjoy destroying is a relationship between a man and his mom. Anyway, that was me just geeking out because I love her so much and I want her to be mainstream. And as much as somebody with that kind of humor,
yeah, I say good
be,
luck with that.
Yeah, maybe I don't even know if she wants to be mainstream.
There's
in
no
that
way she does, or she wants the mainstream to shift significantly because she's deliberately on the margins
of
in a
course.
Lot of ways. I love her.
I mean, yeah, and of course, and I don't even know if I believe what I said, but it's one of those things where. Again, she's in a show that millions of people love and obsess over.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm the only person who knows who Patty Harrison
is. No, she's not super obscure.
But she is nowhere near being a household name. And so between, like, you know, our friend Hauser saw her live and actually got up on stage. Did he tell you that story
yeah.
as well? And he's got a big crush on her. And it's just kind of like, it's one of those things where if she were to blow up super big, which, again, I think would maybe be a tall order given what she's known for, you would sort of feel like, I was into that band first, sort of. You know what I mean? Almost like you root for her because you want her to be super big, but then if she got super big, you'd be telling everybody I was into her shit before she was a household name.
Yeah.
All right.
And then people would really enjoy hearing from you.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can explain to them how the geek bodybuilder dynamic works on the beach.
From geek
you
to
can
chic.
Talk about from geek to chic. Let's talk about the new segment. Are you ready for
I'm
this?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. I guess we should start by.
I'm excited to hear this.
Saying the name of the segment, and I think we agreed we're going to call this segment. You got me. Now you got me. You want me. I was in the studio all day making that.
Yeah, it's really a jam.
For this segment called You Got Me. And the idea for this segment is to talk about commercials, or in my case, maybe it's more advertising campaigns.
I think marketing.
Yeah, marketing.
Because one of mine is a TikTok.
That got us.
Yeah.
That fully
mission
to
accomplished.
At least, and even if we don't fall in love with the product or whatever they're selling,
we tried it.
We actually tried it, and you can tie it directly to seeing.
That's the criteria.
The first one that is, I think, most obvious is you and I, of course, did several shows about all the Super Bowl ads. And one of the things that was advertised for the first time in the Super Bowl was this new soda style drink called Poppy, P-O-P-P-I.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. To me, the ad wasn't, it didn't stand out much.
It did stand out to me for a couple of reasons. I think stylistically, I enjoyed it. It was like, it didn't do anything to put me off in terms of style. Like, I could see it having gone a totally different direction and just feeling like, yeah, they're not talking to me because of the style. But the style was, it was very designy and it was bright colors and it had just like a visual vibe that I really appreciated. And then the story that they told, which I said at the time was incredibly bold, was that they were basically like putting themselves out there like, we are reinventing soda. We are like, forget about zero calorie fake sugar diet soda and forget about full sugar 140 calorie soda. This is a whole third way.
We'll play the ad here from the Super Bowl, or at least part of it. I believe one of the claims was like, in the future, when you refer to soda, you will be referring to Poppy.
Yeah.
Almost like saying that they are going to be like bigger than Coke.
Yeah.
You are a human on Earth. And throughout all of humanity's existence on Earth, there have been ideas, strides, and accomplishments. Some have been enormous. Some have been small and personal. And others have been revelatory. A simple change that redefines everything we thought we knew. For example, this will be the last moment you ever think of soda as being a dirty word.
Soda!
As being bad for you, filled with unclean ingredients and unnecessary sugar. Because this is Poppy, and Poppy is soda. It tastes like soda, looks like soda, smells like soda, and fizzes like soda. Because it is soda. It will be the soda your kids and grandkids think of when they think of soda.
That is such a bold claim. And they start by saying, in the history of the world, there have been concepts and ideas.
And they're like showing like the moon landing and the internet.
And then they show a can of like soda that isn't as sweet.
But don't
as
you love
Coke.
The design? Especially
it is
really
nice.
The cans.
It's better than I remembered.
The can
yeah.
design is great.
And so we talked about that commercial on the show, and you said at one point, oh, well, you know, I'll probably try it. You went to the store one day and came back with like a few Lucy's, like a few cans of different flavor, like three maybe. And you tried those, and then you went to Costco about a week or two ago, and then you came back with a big case of this stuff.
I did.
Like, and I looked at you, I looked you right in the eye, and I said, they got you.
Hey, they got me.
And you said,
you got me.
They got me. You got me.
Yeah. And I think my review of Poppy is that it is good. I don't think it's like quite as life-changing as perhaps that ad implied, which it would have been absolutely wild if it had been.
Yeah.
It tastes good, though. It definitely tastes better than fake sugar. It tastes not as good as a full sugar soda to me, but it is like 25 calories and it's better than 25 calories. Some of the flavors are much better than others. I think that the, and I haven't tried the cola flavor. I'm very leery of like fake colas.
Yeah, that stuff
I go fruit,
never works right.
But the orange and the cherry limeade and the strawberry lemonade, I really can't complain about. And those are the ones that are in the case from Costco. And I'll keep buying it.
It's in the fridge right now.
Yeah, it's a special treat.
They got you. And so I knew about that. And then the other day, I was, if you can believe it, scrolling through Instagram.
Okay.
And when I scroll through Instagram, I'm usually volume down, scrolling really fast. Like when I open up Instagram, I don't even think I'm usually taking in information. When I see something that's very bright and sort of pops or whatever, I'll slow down and I'll like it or whatever. Like, but for some reason, like I don't know if it's doom scrolling, so I'm not looking for like bad news or whatever, but it just turns my brain off, especially for the ads. But for some reason, I was scrolling and I saw the beginning of like a video, and it was clearly sponsored content. And I think I later learned or at some point observed that it was for Netflix. And all I saw was Samuel Tarly of the of Game of Thrones, right? The actor that plays him. But I had no context for this. And I saw him in some sort of a fantastic scene. He's like out on some sort of deserted moonscape somewhere, and he's like talking to an insect that's on his hand. I'm like, what is this? And for some reason it got me to stop, and I turned up the volume, and I was, what is this? And then suddenly, out of nowhere, in this peaceful scene, a woman comes up behind him and cuts his head off.
Whoa. You were not invited.
And then as soon as this random person says you were not invited and cuts his head off, sort of in his perspective, all of a sudden, we snap to the interior of some apartment somewhere, and he takes off what looks like some sort of futuristic VR helmet.
Right.
And I still don't know what's going on with this. All I know is this is a two-minute clip from a TV show. There's no voiceover. There's no coming soon to Netflix. It's just 2 minutes of a scene from a TV show that I didn't know existed.
Starring the actor John Bradley, we should say. You called him Samuel Tarly, which obviously was his Game of Thrones character. But in this, this is by the Game of Thrones creators, this show.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the same actors, they rely on a lot of the same actors. But the actor is played by the character that you saw get his head chopped off is John Bradley.
But don't you think that the actor should change his name to Samuel Tarly? Most people know him as that, no?
Well,
is that presumptuous?
He's probably hoping that that won't always be the case.
I guess so. Anyway, I don't know how much of this I'll play, but this reminds me of like when I used to kind of listen to like commercial radio growing up. Sometimes you would like, they would just play like 2 minutes of the morning show or something in the afternoon, kind of without any context, just like the
right
shock jocks goofing around or playing a funny voicemail. And then at the end, it's like, listen to Sam and Wacky in the mornings or whatever. And it's like the advertising wasn't even advertising. It was just a clip. And this was 2 minutes of a show. And I'll tell you what, it got me to watch the entire 2 minute clip. And then that night I put on the first episode of it. It was so complicated and I was like so tired that I fell asleep. And then I went back and I rewatched it. And now I think I'm like halfway.
Have you said what this product is?
No, we're not going to say the name of it. No. Anyway, it is the show Three Body Problem, which the irony is, when I saw that it was for Three Body Problem, I'm like, oh yeah, Genevieve told me about that. Like,
but even me, your partner,
you
saying,
gave me a customized pitch.
You would enjoy this. You
that
should
went
watch
in
it.
One ear and out the other. But then I stopped on this thing, and the thing is, it is complicated. Like I finished the first episode, but then again, I think some of my face blindness might be getting worse, or is making some of these complicated plots even more difficult. I mean, so I finished the first episode, then went back and watched the beginning of the first episode again because I'm
so
like,
you know who,
I had a better beat as to who the people who were.
What
on
had
it.
Happened to who?
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm like, okay, now. And
it's
then
a
I'm
complicated
like,
show.
It is a complicated show.
I will say,
but I'm intrigued. And I got to say, they got me.
Yeah, they got you. It's a complicated show and it jumps around in time a lot so that if you aren't dialed into like, oh, this is that character 30 years later or whatever, they don't necessarily like spell it out for you. They let you figure it out.
Yeah.
So I can see why rewatching it would be very beneficial. I really enjoyed it. I binged it basically in a weekend.
I believe you called it hard sci-fi.
Well, the book that it's based on is hard sci-fi. Mm. It's been softened considerably for television.
I don't think I'm going to play any more tape of that because, let's just say, you know, he keeps on putting on the helmet and he keeps on getting killed. It's like weirdly dark, mysterious, and humorous all at the same time. I know why they picked this 2 minute clip, but it really worked on me, and I might watch episode 2 after the show tonight.
I think that style of marketing where they just pick a, even if it's out of context, a clip from a piece of content that's really mesmerizing or intriguing or whatever is so effective. It's actually how I started listening to years and years ago now, the podcast, My Brother, My Brother and Me. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to something on Max Fun, something I don't remember what it was. It wasn't even something I was that into, some show that I think is long defunct, but they had promos for some of their other mm-hmm. podcasts on that network. And it just, the promo just opened on the My Brother, My Brother, Me host, the McElroy brothers, just like doing one of their bits. It's like doing mm-hmm. just riffing on something.
It was clipped from
an episode. And then it just.
And no setup, no presenting.
Right. And then they did close it with like, and that's what you'll get on, you know, that and more on My Brother, My Brother, Me. But it was so funny.
I love that.
That I immediately started listening to that show, and I've been listening to it for probably 10 years now.
Yeah. I love that. Hey, they got you.
Got me.
You have another one you want to share here, but I do want to say, as we introduce this new segment, because I am very excited about this, but I'm not excited about it as a segment where you and I, because I mean, there are only so many of these things, right? I think it's kind of rare, which is why I think it's an interesting segment. But I want this to be a listener-driven segment, big time. Listeners. I mean, whether it was Sunny Delight when you were 11 years old or something that you saw yesterday that actually got you to pull the trigger on something. And maybe it's even something that like you knew about it for a long time, but then finally the latest campaign just like was the straw that broke the camel's back or
whatever.
Yeah,
can you connect a purchasing decision to a piece of marketing? That's what's interesting. And like, what was it about that piece of marketing that either pushed you over the edge or inspired you to try something that you just hadn't tried before? And also, I'm always interested in product reviews. Like I said, the poppy was like mm-hmm. good, not, you know, moon landing good, but good. And here in this next one, I'll give my review as well. I'd love to hear like, was it worth it? Like, did the product live up to the hype, I guess is what I'm saying.
So I have no, I'm looking at the show sheet here. There are some words. I don't know what they mean. I have not seen this, and I have no idea what this product is. What is the other thing that got you?
What do you think those words say?
Well, it says LG Assassin. That
okay,
sounds
so
like
you
a
can
video
read,
game.
So you can read those words. I thought for a minute you couldn't read those words. You, you seem so confused.
Well, LG
do you know what LG
tough,
means?
Yeah, that would be a good Wordle word. Has LG already been a Wordle word? I'll bet you those little sons of guns over at Wordle. It's five letters, right?
Yeah, I guess it is five letters.
That
would be a real bastard.
That would be a breaker. Yeah. A lot of people would lose their streaks.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a streak killer. So
is LG Assassin a video game?
No, it's an assassin of algae, the green stuff that grows on stuff.
Oh, okay.
And here's so this I saw on I know I was on Instagram when I saw it because it's like a TikTok ad that, you know, obviously got migrated to Instagram. And it was just so it's very kind of low pro, very sort of infomercially. But what got me was like how personalized it was to Seattleites like me and particularly Seattle homeowners like me. So you just have a guy just, you know, standing in front of the camera holding a bottle of this algae assassin, which is a just a cleaning product that you spray on green algae that's grown on your porch or your house or your walkway or whatever, and it's supposed to kill that algae, but in a like a, you know, environmentally friendly way.
Mm-hmm. I always think of it as moss. Is moss and algae kind of a similar thing?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they're the same. I think
we always had algae in our pond.
Yeah, algae
up.
Needs a lot of water, which is one of the reasons this really spoke to me, because he specifically talks about being a Seattleite.
I'll play the commercial in a second, but first I want to talk. Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
I don't know if you know this about me. Well, you know that I grew up in the country, right?
Yes.
And I had a lot of weird, like, country-related chores.
Yeah.
And you know that you never saw the house I grew up in, but we had kind of a lot of land to mow and whatever.
I'm surprised we never drove out there one time when we were, like, trying to think of things to do in Cleveland.
Yeah, I've done that with my folks a few times since I've been back, but maybe you've never been with. But anyway, we had like, I guess, a pond. We called it the pond in the backyard, and we kind of straddled our yard and our neighbor's yard. But it's, again, just kind of a lot of land out there. And we had this pond, and it was in really bad shape. We had muskrats that would eat. I would see a lot of photos and home movies of my cousins, who are like generally like a 10 years older than me, basically splashing around and having fun with inner tubes and stuff in this pond when it was maybe in better shape, but I was a little kid.
Can I sidebar for one thing?
Yeah, please.
Boy, muskrat, I just thought about that word. And I think muskrats enjoy kind of like like they're sort of like in the cute. They're more like on the cute side of the animal spectrum.
Really?
I feel like they are. I feel like isn't there like a cute like a song about muskrats or something?
I don't know. I thought the opposite. I thought like what is even grosser than a rat?
A musk.
Let's put musk on
rat.
The front of it.
Yeah, but when you exactly when you really break it down. It sounds like the grossest animal on God's planet.
I think. Look, can you see the screen? I think of them as gross little
nasty
rodents.
See, to me, I look
rodents.
At that.
Look
and
at those rat tails.
It looks sort of like a little, like a mini beaver.
Yeah, I'm not into them.
People love beavers.
And we can save it for your advertising campaign for whatsyourprice.com. honestly, like, you know, like, I don't know how our audience feels about killing animals, but we had, that was like the only thing that I ever knew my dad to shoot was like, because we had this muskrat problem. They would chew up and burrow all these holes around the edge of the pond. So as I was walking around the edge of it or mowing, there are these areas where I was mowing it, but I was like, it was only like an inch of dirt
right.
and I could fall through it. Like these things just destroyed the pond. And sometimes my dad would go up in the attic with his 22 rifle and pick them off sniper, American sniper style. That was very rare, but again, it was a sort of country you live in. But we also had tons of algae. Again, this was just like a nasty little pond, right? And I can't remember what the chemical was, but it, looking back on it, it was like something villainous from a superhero movie. It was, oh, you know what it looked like? It looked like the meth in Breaking Bad. We had buckets of like kind of glassy blue substance of some sort
uh-huh.
that I would take a scoop. Like two scoops of Raisin Bran
yeah.
style scoop. Take a scoop of that stuff.
Did you wear any personal protective gear?
Lord, no. This is the country in the 80s.
God.
You're lucky I wasn't smoking. And I would scoop up a bunch of this blue crystal meth looking stuff in and put it into a sock, like an old tube sock, and then tie the end of it to a string.
Oh, I do know this.
And
yeah.
then I would tie that string to this little boat that we had in the pond, which was like some sort of an old, like a bright orange, like rescue looking boat or something that would be like, it would be like the emergency boat on a bigger boat, sort
sure.
of.
The thing
like
that they get into at the of. End of Captain Phillips.
I've never seen that, but I'm going to go with that. And I would get in this little boat and I would hang the sock with the meth over the edge into the water, and I would say, I'm the captain now.
Yeah.
And I would
you
row.
Say, look at me. Look at me, muskrats.
And I would just row in circles. By the way, I wasn't freelancing this. This was a chore.
I
was told
it.
To do this.
Yeah.
And I would row in circles around the
be
edge.
Be wild
of
if
the
you just
pond.
Came up with that.
Yeah. And my dad's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't know. It's crystal meth. He's like, all right. So I don't know
these
what.
These muskrats
that
are going to go buck wild.
It turns out it brought more muskrats, but also a lot of muskrat problems.
Yeah.
And the
there's so much whatever. Muskrat crime.
Yeah, a lot of muskrat crime. But anyway, yeah, and I don't know what that stuff was. I could ask my dad, but honestly, I don't even want to say it on the air because it could not have been like.
You don't think it was EPA approved?
I think it might have been Agent Orange, only blue.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Did it kill the muskrats?
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
it was
oh,
for
so
the,
kill
algae.
The algae.
The muskrat.
It probably wasn't great for the muskrats.
No.
Let's be honest.
And there were frogs. There were a lot
yeah.
of frogs. That was one of the things I miss most. I didn't like growing up in the country. All I wanted was to be a city kid, right? I was so jealous of that. But I look back at my summers as a kid in Valley City, and of course, you know, rose-colored glasses and everything. But one of the things I loved the most was the sound of the night there
yeah.
in the summertime, and just like a
the country
whole
time,
chorus
country in the summertime.
Of bullfrogs, like murder, murder, with all the crickets and everything. And then if a rainstorm came,
yeah.
I just haven't had that ever in my adult life.
Well, I wish you were a little more outdoorsy because, like, I get that every summer when I go camping.
I want to be in a house with a shower and a bed
okay.
and my underoos, as you mentioned before, and I want the windows to be open and I want to hear the frogs that way. So, did you want me to play any of this Algae Assassin? I think it's one of those YouTube
yeah,
short
but it,
things, so
but
it might
kinda,
be a little
you'll, maybe
bit
if you watch it, you'll understand
here.
Why I spent way too much on an algae killer.
It is amazing how much I talked about muskrats when we're talking about algae here, but anyway, let's see if I can.
Having a home in Seattle and maintaining the algae around the home during the rainy season can be quite challenging. The first time I used Algae Assassin, I was a bit skeptical because the instructions are just spray and come back in a couple days. But I did that, and when I went up to the roof, it was literally like magic. All the green stuff was gone. I didn't even have to use a towel. Using something that's not toxic, that I can use all the time, plant-based, have no worries about harming the cat or the garden or the materials.
The muskrats
are super important. And that's why I can recommend Greenwater Labs Algae Assassin.
Can I say something about this that I would never say if he was a woman?
Sure.
I really don't like the way he talks.
It's just,
I would go outside and I'd spray it. And it was literally like magic.
Yeah,
the combination of us upspeak with the sort of like kind of, I don't know, sort of closed nasal passage sound, for lack of a better word.
A little bit of a lazy mouth.
Yeah. And again, you know, I don't, honestly, and I don't need to bring gender into it. It's only because often that is wrapped up in some pretty major sexism.
Right.
And in this day and age, like,
it's not quite vocal fry, but it's sort of
vocal fry. Yeah. And so, and I shouldn't even say that about him either. But as I was listening to that, I was like, oh, this almost is like a comedy sketch sort of.
So you would not have spent $44 on algae spray.
Is that how much we paid for that stuff?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I did try it and I was not that impressed. So I wanted to be wowed by it.
That's for a new segment called They Had Me.
They Had Me. That's the last $44 whatever Greenwater Labs is getting from me.
You got me and you lost me.
You can't sell anything.
You can sell anything. So, ad counselors, how did they get you, and who was it who got you?
Yeah.
Let us know.
Tell
Call
us
our
all
voicemail
about it.
Line, 607-444-5597. That's 607-444-5597. You don't have to call just for that segment, though. Anything, if you want to talk about a commercial that you've seen on television or on social media, or you want to sing us your favorite jingle, 607-444-5597, or record yourself on a little voice memo and send it to afterthesemessagesshow@gmail.com. That's an email address. Do you think people realize that with the gmail.com?
I think so.
I didn't say email us. I said send it to that. I don't want people to think it's a P.O. box.
Don't put it in. It will not go anywhere if you put it in your mailbox with simply having written on it afterthesemessagesshow@gmail.com.
Also, you can check out what I've been uploading to the YouTube page, old commercials that I've been digitizing from VHS tapes, and join the conversation over at the Facebook group where people talk about what they heard on this show and what they've been seeing on their screens. All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Oh, dip. It seems once again back again with the caravan of man's from Pakistan. Karachi posse's out.